got these boots.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, the Shaw, and broadcast throughout the state on your civic media station. Danielle?
Joel?
It's here. I can't handle it. It's here. Fall is here. I sat in the goose blind early this morning for the first time since it started. Woo. Did not sweat my ever-loving rear end off.
Yeah. It was pretty nasty a couple nights or a couple evenings, but the mornings were absolutely perfect. I loved every single moment of it. Bandit finally got his first retrieve, so I'm happy.
Man, that's awesome. There's nothing better than being out there with your dog, and that dog takes off out of the blind, grabs that goose or duck, and brings it back to you. And my wife actually looks at me and she says, "Ugh." I said, "What? What? I've been in such a good mood lately." She said, "Yeah, you're in such a good mood because you're in a good mood during hunting season."
Well, then make it year round. Let's go.
I said, "That. Why do you think I try to travel to other states and other countries in the off season? Because that is what gets my blood pumping, and nothing gets me juiced up and fired up more than when it's goose hunting season." We had the opener. We absolutely slayed him. Brett Backus was on the air with us last week. We had a killer hunt the next morning after the show. 52 geese, 11 men. And then we were hunting today, and they were coming down from heavens. I think the migration's actually underway. We get that north wind. You get in the blind. You got a little bit of a chill. You're dressed a little warmer, and you're trying to pull those suckers down from the clouds, and there is nothing more exciting when they are cupped over and coming down. And you know what that chill in the air makes me realize? And I literally on the way here, Dan Rooney is my friend in Florida who got me literally started hunting in my life. Like when I was, I didn't hunt till I was 38 years old. Yep. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
And the scary part is I've been hunting for about the same amount of time as you have. We met not that long after I was 38 years old.
I never thought about it like that. That's when did you start Kill It, Clean It, Cook It?
Geez, that must have been right about when I was 38, but that started as a fishing television show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it started as a fishing show. Oh. And then somebody said, "Why don't you have hunting?" And I said, "Because I hunt fish." I didn't know. I didn't know much about hunting. Mm-hmm. And what I was actually, put this in the category of things people just don't know about me. I was a substitute teacher at Lake Country School. Yeah. I love, one of the most fun things about doing this show is your reactions to things, Danny. Because it's always, I mean, it's from, you know, sideways banana to new facts. You're always jovial about it. And I do like the fact that you're always happy about it. I was a substitute teacher in, can you guess the subjects? Guess the subjects I was a substitute teacher in.
Ceramics.
No, that would have been my mom. My mom, Mary Clayfish, who's actually in the lobby listening to
Hi,
the show.
Mom.
She comes up. Hi, Grandma Clayfish.
Ever.
She loves the title Grandma, so now everybody calls her Grandma. She loves to be a grandma. That woman back there is 80 years old going on 20. I'm telling you. Woo. She's not quite 80 yet, but are you? How old are you? 78. Knocking
How
on the door
rude.
Of 80. Well,
How
it's
rude.
All right. She runs around like a chicken, man. If I didn't know any better, I thought she was 35 years old.
Oh, we can
the way
go out
she
partying.
Runs around. Well, you could take her out partying. She'll probably outlast you, but she's got a little narcolepsy, so she might fall asleep once in a while.
Same.
She gets tired.
We can go to the clubs, like
she's
Sam
in the other
Club
room saying,
and Costco.
No, I can see her. No, I don't, Joel. No, I don't. No, that I'm telling you.
I had narcolepsy in the brain.
You had narcolepsy in the brain. That's not narcolepsy, Danielle. That's just tiredness. When you get up at 3 in the morning to go set up in the goose field, it's just called tiredness.
It is tiredness.
Yes, and the funniest thing about when you fall asleep in the blind and then you wake up to someone else blowing a duck or a goose call, it's like the best way to wake up in the whole world.
Wait, I'm not
is
tired
waking
at all.
Up like, when oh. animals are coming, when geese are coming and birds are coming.
And then you
I've never
the
experienced
drool.
That yet.
Oh, hey, nope. Our mystery guest. You're not supposed to talk before we introduce you, Jake. That's not how this goes.
Come on, Yunkers.
Oh, Anastasia's laughing back there. She's like, okay, guess his mic's
hot. I was told no rules.
There's no rules except for the seven words you can't say, which are, just kidding.
Don't.
Don't. Anastasia's like, don't. I don't want to have to press the bleep button.
Can you just bleep me?
You
can. Can I hear you bleep me?
So I'm getting off my point. On the way here, my buddy Dan Rooney called me. So Dan and Casa Rooney, their kids, Jackson and Gavin, who... that was one of my first experiences of my life. I was a substitute teacher at Lake Country School in which subjects? Now this will be funny. What do you think I taught?
English.
Nope. History. Keep going. Nope.
Math?
Nope.
Science?
Spanish? Las personas que viven aquí está muy rápidamente. The people
Spanish,
who live here are very fast.
My Spanish teacher was Mrs. Stark.
Mrs. Stark.
Star.
Star.
She always did a star.
Estrella.
That's all I remember from Spanish.
That's the word for star in Spanish. Estrella.
Oh, that's
Estrella.
Nice.
Estrella. Porque vivo en Waukesha, donde las personas hablan solamente inglés. So,
how do you say shoot?
Hopefully.
Say shoot.
Shoot?
Shoot. Like shoot.
Bang. I think that's universal, Danielle. I think shoot is bang is universal, I think. That's onomatopoeia, where the word you say sounds like the word it is. Pop, bang, spritz.
It was the one in a who's being.
Oh, you're losing it, Danielle. You're losing it.
Onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia. Did you know that
that's
word?
No.
Nope. Wait,
that's where the word. No. You're still not introduced, Jake.
Sorry.
Jake from State Farm.
I got my khakis on.
He doesn't have khakis on.
So I taught Spanish and music.
Onomatopoeia.
Don't. You're going to end up saying one of the banned words without even trying. Spanish and music is what I taught. Okay.
For how long?
Oh, a couple years. I would substitute teach when I could, and it was really fun because, you know, I have a minor in music, and I speak some Spanish, and it was great. It was a really great experience. But the superintendent of the school, who became a very good friend of mine, Mark Light is his name, his college roommate was Dan Rooney, who owned an orange grove in Florida, and he said, you should come to Florida and hunt hogs.
Oh.
And I thought, oh my gosh, that sounds unbelievable. I would love to do it. And I did that about 13, 14 years ago, and I was absolutely hooked. And I met the Rooneys, Dan and Kesa, some of the most wonderful people I've ever met. Their kids, Jackson and Gavin, got to be really good friends with them, watched them grow up, was there. Gavin and Jackson both have come here to Wisconsin to goose hunt in the winter, during the winter break. And they're just wonderful, God-fearing, God-loving people, and they are really integral to my life in hunting and the love and passion I have for it in hunting. And so, you know, that led to us having Triple J Outfitters. We own 40 acres in Lake Wales, Florida. And on the way here, the former majority leader of the Wisconsin State Assembly, Jim Steinecke, called and he wants to take his 18-year-old down hog and alligator hunting.
That'd be perfect.
And Jim and I were friends in the legislature. We served together for, I think, 14 years. Or 12 years we served together, and he's a fantastic guy. And now his son is going to go down there and be a full-scale redneck with us, and I cannot wait.
Yep.
It's so awesome.
We need to have them.
Anastasia, how much time do we have before the break? I feel like we've just been burning through time here.
We got about 4 minutes left.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, hot dog.
Should we officially introduce? Would you like to officially introduce our guest, Danielle? I feel like all we've been doing is laughing anymore and goofing off, but I really do think you should talk about the shirt you're wearing because I'm very confused by it. It's got a skeleton giving horns.
First, we have to get to the first things first before we get into our awesome show. The sports that I do not watch or listen to. I'm sorry, because it's during hunting season.
What does that?
We're talking about the Badgers and the Packers.
Oh yeah, all right, okay.
The Badgers and the Packers.
Oh, that's right. We do have to take care of that because we, the Civic Media Group, is now hosting some pretty fantastic events in the sporting world, and we want to make sure you have access to that. So Danielle, tell us what we're watching, what we're able to listen to.
So for the WAUK, you can listen to the Badgers coverage on air or on your phone, because everyone's addicted to that 5x7.
Right.
But if you want to listen to the Packers game, you cannot
listen
to it on your phone. You can listen to it over air on WAUK. 5:40 a.m.
We got that right, right?
Right,
Anastasia. Yeah.
Not through Walk, but through our Racine affiliate.
Racine.
Yep. If you go on civicmedia.us, you'll find out all the info you need.
Yep.
See, there it is. See, that's
why. Why don't you just do it for us, Anastasia?
That's why the fishbowl has got Anastasia.
Well, but it is. Yes, but I know you,
all we're doing is messing around in here.
Like, I feel like I'm getting yelled at by a lot of people whose mics I'm in charge of. So maybe let's.
Oh, and we have to get our shout out.
She keeps us straight. Poor Jake. Poor Jake's sitting in the corner. He hasn't said a word. He hasn't had a word in crosswise yet.
You can
Who's the guy sitting in the chair next to you?
How did we meet, Jake?
Oh,
Was this bartending days? Or was
you
it
were a bartender, Jake?
I was not.
Okay.
I was a bartender.
I was a consumer. All right.
So if a termite walks into a bar.
Oh, my Lanta.
A termite walks into a bar and says, is the bartender here? Do you get that? What do termites eat? Anastasia gets it.
Tender. I have no idea.
Yeah, termites eat tenders, what Danielle said.
Termites eat wood. Right. Is the bartender here?
Oh, dear Lord.
That's a dad joke for sure.
Oh, man.
That is a dad joke for sure. Jake Yunk.
Jake Yunk. Hello.
Hello.
Jake Yunk is an avid hunter.
A
little bit. Lives and breathes pretty much about it. Yeah. He has traveled the world as you have. And I know you guys hunted the same amount of, the type of animals. Like in
very similar, yes.
The Chinese water deer, which my friend Annie and I were just talking about because there's so many questions about this teddy vampire deer that I have.
Teddy, that is a great definition of it. If you've ever seen a Chinese water deer, it looks like it's a deer with fangs.
And you got it in England.
Yep.
This was a native deer to China.
Yep.
Chinese water deer.
Yes, to
Asia. And then it went over to England in the 1900s.
Yeah, so it was actually, 1880, they had a disease went through China that actually was in the process of wiping that whole species completely out. And at the time, they actually took a lot of those deer that were clean and not diseased and spread them through the world. We actually had them in the United States for a very small amount of time. But
and
they
what happened
got
to
the,
them? Do we just hunt them off?
Nope. They had the same
Save
disease.
That. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to come back with Jake Yunk, Danielle Fairman. I'm Joel Clayfish. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. The show's great so far. I promise it's going to keep being great. We'll be right back.
Star falling hard on iPhone in the dark. We got these songs. We live out and laugh. From the Sunday morning pews to the Friday night party crowds.
If I can make a nickel off of turning in bass, never worry about the price of gas. I'd be willing.
What a surprise! A little Luke Bryan hunting, fishing, and loving every day. That's what we do here at WAUK, 5:40 a.m. Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside my co-host, Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
Danielle, what's going on?
Give us a call. Give us a call. 844-967-2789.
844 I can't even start it out right. I have never had it memorized.
844-967-2789.
I can't even read it. Anastasia, what is wrong with me? I can't even read it off of a piece of paper.
I'm not permitted to diagnose on the air anymore.
All right.
So.
Well, we're going to have a sideline couch sofa psychology session or something.
Weekend so far?
One of our groups got two bands. I did not draw for them, so I'm still stuck at 11. I'm stuck at 11, I have that cool, like, Cerakoted black one, which is really awesome.
Nice.
But I'm still waiting, still holding out for that, for the tarsal band or neck collar. I haven't gotten that.
Did you see an outdoor news that the duck count is down 9% this year?
Yeah.
But
I mean,
like
they're
down
saying
like
that.
17 for.
They're saying
total.
That, but I'm telling you, we've already seen a lot of ducks while we're out there goose hunting. So, I mean, and the teal harvest looks like it was all right. So I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah, they said the teal population is up, but it's the mallards that are definitely down, but pintails are kicking butt.
I'm not too worried about it. Those counts are kind of arbitrary. I know they do the best they can, but I'm not super worried about it. I'm always excited about duck season. I love hunting ducks and eating ducks. And I mean, I've had my limit, almost not my limit, but close to the limit of geese every day. And I don't have one in the freezer yet. We've just been eating them as we go. I bring goose burritos to the field. It's phenomenal.
I made you pot pie twice.
What?
Twice.
You made the pot pie recipe that I had? How'd it turn out?
The first one turned out okay. But with this whole roux situation, I made the roux, so I put the butter in. I forgot when you put the oil in. So you put I put the butter in. Yeah. And I add some garlic because I need garlic and everything.
Okay, but you don't put the garlic in the roux necessarily. So,
why not?
Because roux is just two ingredients, fat and flour, period. You saute the other stuff and add it later after you've made the gravy.
Oh, but, I wanted a nice garlicky
well,
I'm roux.
It probably didn't hurt it. So does that what screwed it up or
I
what?
Believe, so the first time, well, okay, sorry, I was wrong. The first time was weird. Second time was okay. So I made the roux and then I put the meat back in and then my roux was gone. And then I got all stressed because I want my, I like kind of a gooey pot pie.
Yeah.
And then it was
so
all gone.
So did you put the liquid in?
I did put the liquid in. I think I didn't put enough in. So I made another roux and put the roux on top of the roux. So I made the roux thicker. So then it was like a...
I think you took something fairly simple and made it very complicated is what it's...
Shocking.
That's... You, now, see, I have that role in my life. Usually I take something simple from my wife and I complicate it. That's how it goes in my family.
But otherwise, we got that recipe down and it's delicious. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Good. It turned out good.
A lot better than my cream of mushroom that I usually put in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay in a pinch, but I like to actually make stuff kind of from scratch. It turns out awesome. Jake Yonk has been patiently waiting.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a lot of banter today, and that's, you know, I'm fine. I'm good with it. When people say, what do you talk about? I go, everything, stuff.
Whatever pops in the
Jake Yonk, how old are you?
I am just turned 30.
You're 30 years old, but you've already traveled the world and hunted 8 million species everywhere. And this goes to exactly the way I look at life. I tell everybody, life is about experiences, mm-hmm. not things.
Yes, exactly.
You'll never be on your deathbed and say, I'm glad I didn't do it. You're never going to be on your deathbed and say, oh, I'm really heartbroken about spending that extra $1,000 or $2,000. And I'm worried because my mom's out in the lobby, like shaking her head like, that guy can't, that money burns a hole in his pocket.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Now, you do have to be reasonable because I got kids to go to college and all that stuff.
I got kids, too.
And but I'm telling you, travel destination hunting is one of the most exciting things you'll ever do.
It's
and
out of control.
You hunted Chinese water deer in England,
yep.
very close to where I hunted water deer in England.
Probably the same county.
Isn't it blow your mind how cool hunting is in England, though, the way they do it?
It's so
the
proper.
Stalking
it's
and proper. It's
proper. How are
proper.
We on?
Oh, it's so oh. proper. It's
Wait,
all
did you,
stalking.
Didn't you say the word was brilliant that they use all the
brilliant.
Time?
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, brilliant.
Brilliant word.
Brilliant
word.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Everything's brilliant.
Stock. Brilliant.
And
stock.
If you're smart or you know something, you're clever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's clever. Clever.
I like
which
that.
I love. I want to adopt those words and start using them here. Like umbrella is brawly. Mm-hmm.
Brawly?
Brawly.
Yeah. I feel like that's broccoli.
French fries are chips.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's not broccoli. Brawly. So tell me about, like you said, it's proper. Talk to me about that because one of the coolest things I thought was they stalk everything there. We don't stalk here.
No.
They stalk everything, and that's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean that's how I usually hunt anyway. Even here in Wisconsin is stalk. It's I love spot and stalk.
Do you have a thermal scope that you use, or how do you stalk during the day without spooking stuff?
Watch the wind.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Okay, when it's fallen, all the leaves have fallen, and now
walk good, walk slowly,
walk better. Walk more better.
Have good boots that aren't a hard sole.
So I feel like stalking deer during the day would be horrible.
It's real tough.
It's tough, but once you learn it, it's pretty good.
Well, tell me about your experience stalking in England for the water deer. So the water deer are miniature deer, no horns, and they have fangs. That's a pretty good way to describe it.
They're the only deer out there.
Yeah, and they'll fully submerge their body in water and stick their head just above, and they just lay completely like underground for.
And they're the height. The size of what, like a large breed dog.
I mean, they're like a very small, you know, a big deer. One's maybe 45, 50 pounds.
No, they're the size of a medium to small breed dog.
Yeah.
Like a giant cat almost is the size they are. Yeah.
Right. They're not big at all. I mean, your fist is about the size of their head. I mean,
yeah. Dang. And then they, if you get them at the right time of the year, they've got like this big fluffy heads.
Bandits. Four times the size of a Chinese.
Dang, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Google did not do me right.
No.
But they're definitely giant teddy bear.
Yeah, they
have
look
like
fake.
A teddy bear face. I was on the phone, literally back and forth on WhatsApp today with my taxidermist. It's coming back today. I went and set. No, my taxidermist in England, and they're sending it back. And we're at break two already because time flies when you're having fun. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish, Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back on 540 AM WAUK. With me. Won't you come along with me? I know you want to see. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. Jake Young has joined us. And right before the break, we were talking about Chinese water deer hunting in England and the fact that this is a species that is literally thriving in the United Kingdom that was about to go extinct in Asia. And so they scrambled and moved some of these deer to other places in the world. And one of the places that is incredibly conducive to them thriving is the United Kingdom, but really only kind of a few counties in the UK. And just coincidentally, Jake and I both got to hunt these Chinese water deer in a very, it's a very, and I don't want to use the word gentleman's hunt because, you know, gentleman, gentlewoman, proper. It's a very proper hunt. They stalk there. They use thermal vision to try to spot these things as they're grazing in a field or their heads are sticking up in little water baths. What was your experience with the stalking experience you had there?
Yeah, so I never had thermal. We never had that as an option. It probably was an option. It never came to that.
Didn't need it.
Yeah, I mean, you're just wading through swamps, and in my case, at least. I mean, you're knee deep most of the day. Going through all the reeds and stuff. And then
That sounds kind of rough and horrible. Yeah.
That was not my experience.
Yeah, see, we had rain every day.
Dang.
It was. And you're just looking for the heads of these things sticking out of the water.
Where I shot mine, we actually went up in a hide, which is just an elevated blind in our words, you know.
They call them high seats.
Yeah,
high seats.
Yep.
Wow, that is proper.
Well, sit in the high seat.
Yep. So we sat up there, and
sit
it was
in the high seat.
The last day, and we just sat there in glass because it was snowing. It was just miserable. It was
Jeez. That was not my experience at all.
No. I like to be miserable. That's how I
obviously
how I
you do. Obviously you do. We just went to various fields, which they have rape there.
Yep.
Rape is a type of, it's kind of like a, I don't know, alfalfa-ish kind of
We call it
grass.
Canola in America.
Is it the same thing?
Yes. Yeah.
For real?
It really is, yeah.
Canola?
Well, the other word's a little bit abrasive, so.
It is.
Well,
I'm like, wait.
I mean, I think the other word probably meant a seed before it meant the bad thing.
Surely,
but,
yes.
Yeah, so we hunted canola fields, I guess.
Right.
One of the healthier oils you can use if you need to. But so we were hunting the field edges, you know, in the woods, and you stalk along real slowly and quietly, which is not kind of an American.
No.
We don't have patience.
No,
we'll have patience sitting in a blind, which they call a high seat. We'll have patience doing that, or we'll have patience laying on the ground waiting for geese or ducks to come. We do not have patience when it comes to stalking. We're loud. We're kind of, I mean,
you need
I can
to work on that.
See, well, I'm kind of a clumsy guy to begin with. I have a lot of coordination, but I'm clumsy. I don't know how those work together, but they do. So we would go along and kind of just chill, and then you'd see them come out at dawn and dusk from the corners and to eat in the canola fields. And it was just a phenomenal experience. And I hunted with Sam Sumner there, and he was just great. And he would stop and he'd have like a hand-rolled cigarette, you know, that's a lost art in the United States, smoking cigarettes. That hardly happens anymore. But like they smoke cigarettes in Europe crazy.
Yeah.
Like while they're hunting, he's like, just,
oh, geez, really? What?
And I said, oh my gosh, you're smoking? You're smoking? I'm totally. And he's like, watch the wind, mate. Just watch the wind, mate.
See, I'm telling you, I said that before. Stalking's easy. You just watch the wind, have nice boots so they don't make much noise. That's all you need to do.
Okay, so when you guys harvested this Chinese water buck, what did it taste like? Because we were talking about it on break. Jake and I were talking about it on break, how it tastes phenomenal. I'm like, I have no inkling to go hunt Chinese
it's
water
definitely,
teddy bear
it's
vampire
definitely top
deer.
Three. No ifs, ands, or buts on anything.
It what? Is,
oh, it's...
I have never tasted anything as delicious.
Okay, so what, since it's so small, would you think it's more like eating a fawn type deal?
Mm.
Have you had fawn?
I'm going to tell you, honestly,
fawn,
what it tastes
but...
like to me is like if you mix, if you combined squirrel, chicken, and venison tenderloins all together. I mean, just super tender.
Yeah. I mean, it's
super
just,
buttery taste.
You don't need a knife.
No. You know, it's fork tender right out of the pan.
Oh, I am
I made it,
so down
I made
that.
It with an ale. I made it with an ale cream sauce. Ooh. With mushrooms right in the Airbnb that we were at.
Okay.
And my wife and I ate it, and we were just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And over there, they don't really eat their wild game very much. Not, they'll
eat
it
they eat
once
stag.
In a while.
They eat a lot of steak.
They'll eat the steak.
I would love to eat a steak. That's what I
did you hunt muntjac while you're there?
I did. Also? I was not lucky enough to get one, unfortunately.
Yeah, I hunted. I went. I was so jazzed about my experience with Sam Sumner. I went back and hunted with Mark Broadhurst, who was my daughter's friend's dad, who runs Badger or Badger Broadhurst, he's known as on Facebook, and Warwickshire Roebucks. And this guy is, he's former military, and he's so specific. Like, if you shoot out there, and did you shoot with those European shooting sticks with the front and the back?
Oh,
or?
I did not. My wife did.
Yeah, those things
hers,
are unbelievable. I actually bought two pairs of those because they're so fantastic.
Well, just having that back support's
it's unbelievable. It's but he was so specific. He has never lost a muntjac, roe deer, or Chinese water deer that he's shot. Never lost
good.
One.
Well, they shoot with like 243s, and the muntjacs are smaller than the
yeah,
Chinese
muntjacs
water
are
deer.
Even
I mean,
smaller.
Rabbit.
Muntjacs are weird because they have little devil horns. I yeah. am
Ooh,
convinced.
What?
Well, they also do have fangs, too.
Muntjac, M-U-N-T-J-A-C. Look that up. Yeah. They have little devil horns, and they have fangs, too. They are
do.
The coolest.
Why do they all have
I am 100% convinced.
What are these things?
They're the coolest things ever. I
they are the coolest
one.
Ever. I shot one
that
with
would be
little
the only
devil
reason
horns.
I go back is for one of them.
And so I went there on the first trip, and Mark Broadhurst was not able to hunt with me. I literally went on the internet, bought tickets, and I told my wife, I told Becky, we're going to Stratford-upon-Avon. We're going to stay for just 5 days. I'm going to hunt muntjac there. Wow. And I ended up getting one. And Mark, it was like he's a real specific dude. He's one of the fantastic guys, become a really good friend of mine. Hunted. He actually, I kind of told him how to set up for geese. He hunted Canada goose the other day successfully
Aww.
In England. Sent me all the pictures. He was all excited
all
about it. It's so
experience.
Hard to do there because they're hardly anywhere. But he set it up, and I told him how to play the wind, how to do the decoy setup, and he slammed them. And they don't
Good
have
for him.
They don't have limits, so he shot like 13 of them.
Heck yeah.
And he had the time of his life, just like I had the time of Aww. My life hunting with him. So I went back to England, and we hunted muntjac, right? And these things are tiny.
Did you
tiny.
Use a rifle, or did you?
Used a rifle. Okay. These things are tiny, and often when you're stalking through, you know, we were using thermal to try to spot the heat source. Then you get a vantage on it, and then you try to take a shot. But you're shooting at something about the size of a cat.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's and he is so specific. Like if you hit one of these things and it's injured, I mean, he's such a good shot. You know, for him. And I was trying to explain in the United States, we're like if we're at a pie plate at 100 yards, you're considered a good shooter. Right?
Yeah,
I'm at a pie plate at 100 yards. I'm a decent enough shooter to go hunting, right? The ethical standard for the kill over there is incredibly admirable because they want to make sure what you're harvesting is going through the least suffering it will and that you're going to put that quarry in your bag out of respect for the animal.
Right.
I agree. And I think what I learned there, what I took away from that was that I need that every one of us who's going to get out there and hunt really should work at mm-hmm. our shooting skills and at being accurate and making sure to take a good shot when you're out there because
Always.
Nobody wants to leave an injured animal in no. the woods.
Oh, it is the worst feeling.
Now, there are times it's going to happen because we're human and it's going to happen. But do the best you can. And, you know, Mark Broadhurst was just absolutely a phenomenal experience over there. And I'm so excited because my muntjac and my water deer are literally in the midst of coming back right now.
That's awesome.
I want to talk to Jake about one of my dream animals that I had scheduled to hunt.
The caribou?
Yes.
Oh, snap.
I have dreamed about hunting a caribou forever, ever since I started hunting. I had a trip booked to Greenland to hunt caribou and muskox, and it was canceled because of COVID. You had an incredible... First of all, you're a little nuts, to be honest, because you went to Alaska by yourself to hunt caribou. What on earth was that like?
A whole DIY.
I wasn't completely by myself, let's just say that. I had a first-time hunter with me as well. Amir, love you. Congrats on your bull that you just shot 2 weeks ago up there.
Ooh.
But 2 years ago, I met a guy out in Montana antelope hunting and named Monty, and he moved up to Fairbanks, and next thing you know, we're on the Hall Road hunting caribou. And you know,
what do you mean the haul road? I hear people talk about this. You know, what is the haul road?
I'm thinking of a haul truck going down
because
that road.
I mean, it's not some crazy thing to hunt caribou there. You basically, there's one main road, isn't
there? Only one road.
Right. But like you see caribou from that road all over the place, right?
So, so the haul road.
So tell me about how that works, because I want to do this sometime.
Yeah.
But I'm not in Jake Young physical condition, okay?
Look,
I know, I understand that I'm a very handsome man, but I am not
stunning.
Wow, thank you, Danielle. I'll take it. Take it wherever
gorgeous.
You can get it. My mom is buckled over laughing in the next room. It's your genes, so don't make fun of it. It's your genes that did it. So
I thought, shoot,
it's her genes her and her genes. Food that make me fat too. That's the problem. Now I cook like she did growing.
Caribou hunt. I want to know about this caribou hunt. So yes. How did you even start this?
Yeah, I mean, the haul road is just, I mean, all it is a road that goes up to Dead Horse or Prudhoe Bay, which is the oil fields up there. And
so where do you start the haul road?
Haul road starts, I believe, actually, I think it starts all the way down into Anchorage, I think. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
We started at Fairbanks.
Okay.
And we haul.
So you fly into Fairbanks, you rent a car.
Well, again, my buddy Monty, he lived in Fairbanks. So we landed, he picked us up.
Okay.
But yes, that's
most
nice.
Hey, fun fact, rent a U-Haul, they don't check because most rental companies do not allow you to rent and go on the haul road. Fun fact.
Oh,
okay. So yeah, all right.
Rent a U-Haul pickup or box truck.
And now U-Haul will stop that practice thanks to you announcing it.
Because it's been known, there's a lot of YouTube videos out of people renting U-Haul.
Okay, all right.
It's not a hit. It's not really that
nice
much of a secret.
So you end up on the haul road.
Yeah.
What is the haul road like?
You get out of the
is
way.
Is it dirt?
As of last time, that was 2 years ago. When I was there, it was dirt road until about 40 miles south of Dead Horse.
Okay.
They are in the process of paving it.
Okay.
I don't know where they're at, but yeah, it is gravel. Expect to blow at least one or two tires out.
Come on.
Expect to lose a windshield.
Expect to lose tires.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to pick up a nail. Garrett, we picked. 2 years ago, we picked up the nail. The same guys, Monty and Amir, and another guy, I believe his name is Dale, was just up there. They lost two tires. 2 years ago, we lost a windshield.
What if you lose two tires in the middle of absolutely nowhere?
Oh, you better have a patch kit and a spare. Yeah, you're on your own. I mean, there's people, everyone up there.
See, this goes from like adventuresome to crazy.
Be prepared.
No, but
it only makes it better. It creates more memories.
What makes it the best?
Okay, but I don't want to end up dead on the haul road.
You're not going to. There's so many. There's a lot more people up there than you expect.
Okay.
So we ended up blowing out a tire. We needed a patch kit. Our patch kit, literally, our plugs were like the plug.
We're solid.
We did not have enough to plug that tire. And a guy at the camp we were at was able to, he gave us some plugs. I mean, there's so many people. There's always semis. The game and fish is up there.
You continue down the haul road and you're just looking for caribou or how does it work?
Yeah.
You jump out of the car and shoot one or?
So on the haul road, you can't shoot a caribou with a rifle. Within 5 miles from the road.
5 miles?
5 miles.
That's
quite a bit. That's a lot more than 100.
So, but you can bow hunt from the road because the pipeline it runs right next to the road.
Okay.
So that's why you can't use fire.
And they like that pipeline because it's a little warmer, so they kind of stick by it. That's
you
what
don't
I've
really.
Heard.
I mean, you see some. I mean, there really isn't. It's not like they're right on the road.
Gotcha.
When we did ours, like mine, I shot mine at about 6.5, 7 miles back.
What?
So, how do you get off the hall road?
Man,
you walk?
That seems like a
hike. Yeah, it's all public land.
But you're walking 5 to 7 miles?
Yep. Holy There's some cow. Outfitting services that will, like...
What if you blow a tire while you're walking? That would be my concern.
You cry, and you pick up your backpack, and you just press on, man.
Press on.
You rub some dirt on
you don't
it.
Have,
yeah, see, this is some adventuresome hunting. This is like a little bit of a step beyond what I'm used to.
Or,
and when we come back,
or yes. You could get... Fall down a hill at bear hunting and lose your pants.
That's true, like Ben Laskowski did. Well, that was
Ben?
A story
oh,
for the
yeah,
record.
I mean, it's Ben.
We'll
Love
be
you,
right
Ben.
Back on Raised in Wisco. Way am I gone? So still, I can hear the train from 10 miles away.
Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on a farm. My days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Sing it, Danielle.
Me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle when the sun's coming up. I got
you gotta know the words better than that.
Nothing but a funny, funny little.
Welcome back to Raising Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. Jake Yunk is with us, taking us through his Alaska adventure for Caribou. And I
wish we were live on, like, we are live on break, but you could hear us because the conversations that we have
on break are just as fascinating. I mean, I will grant you that we are fascinating. We're definitely not nothing, Jake. This show should have 800,000 listeners in Wisconsin alone. I really think that.
Don't we?
600,000 people go out for opening of gun deer season. I don't think it's too much to ask for 800,000 listeners at any given time. And you know what my measure of if the show's going great is? If Anastasia's in the booth just shaking her head back and forth.
Yeah, or she
like
laughs.
Rolling her eyes and shaking her head back and forth.
Oh, we have to give a shout out to her friends that she went camping with this weekend.
Yeah, thank you again to Matt and Alana. I had a great time in the woods.
I'm glad we did. I'm glad we came on that. That was like one of your first like real camping experiences.
It was. I pitched my own tent. It was a tent my dad bought in the 90s that never got used.
Oh, boy.
So I didn't know what it looked like. I unpacked Super it, guys. Lovely. It was the color palette of a children's room in the 90s.
Nice.
Like a bright red, a bright blue. My boyfriend looks at it. He goes, well, if anything happens, the wardens will find us first. So that was good.
Did it have those like bendable rods that you set
yep.
through?
And, yep.
Because they're so much easier now. A lot of them are like mm-hmm. steel spring loaded. You just boom and they go up. But those
yep.
old school
nope.
ones, or trying
like
to fish it through and bend
yep.
it.
Yep.
And then the fabric's tight on the yep. top and it won't go. How, did you make pudgy pies?
We did. I didn't make one, but there were pudgy pies abound.
Ah,
pizza
okay.
pudgy pies.
Did you have a few cocktails too, and just relax
well,
by the fire.
Something like that. I'm telling you,
if people don't understand what it's like to camp, go camping in Wisconsin. It's one of my greatest memories as a child and as an adult, mm-hmm. getting out there and just being part of the wilderness and getting gritty and you know you're dirty and you haven't showered for a couple of days. But it is an. I'm so glad you had that experience.
It was good. It was really good.
You're gonna have to become a regular host on Raised in Wisco now.
Oh gosh. Well,
but you probably kayak.
Would
don't
you go?
You?
Would you go? Like would Danny, you go caribou you know, hunting in Alaska?
Maybe.
We
can
walk
hey, along
we,
with
we
for
did,
the photos.
We did raft across the Sag to get to our hunting spot. So that was
okay.
A good
you rafted across the Sag River.
That's pretty
Ooh,
neat.
That sounds pretty
okay,
rough,
so wait,
too.
On the break, so, you were yeah. talking about these little thingabobbers that you have to walk over.
The tussocks.
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 Like walking on basketballs.
Yeah. Walking
and
on
And he had to...
So you have to be 5 miles off the road.
Correct. Yeah, you have to be
To
five
hunt
miles.
With a rifle.
Yep.
And yeah. you're... and how do you decide what to do? What?
What? I don't know the question.
How do you decide where to stop and start walking 5 miles?
You have great guys like Kyle Schmidt from Northwoods Taxidermy.
it's all right. It's all
and,
right. You can plug him.
You know, he was up there before. He gave us some good pointers, and
nice.
We set up our we parked our truck there and set up camp, our base camp, and then we blew up the rafts and paddled across and. Grabbed her packs and
that
started going.
That sounds so epic. So when you harvested this animal and hauled it all the way back,
yeah.
did you take it back to Kyle?
Are you I gonna, did, yeah. Yeah. We Kyle did the work.
So
was
did,
Kyle with you
we,
on the trip?
Kyle was not, no.
You
this
were
was
by
a
yourself.
DIY hunt. With
That's
that,
right, yeah.
With the new
well,
hunter.
Kyle's not a guide.
Yeah, Kyle's not a guide. But.
So you're up there and you decide, we're going to walk. We're going to start trekking 5 miles with our gear and our rifles to kill an animal that's going to probably take 2 trips just to bring the meat back to
we
to
did
the
it in one, just saying. Oh, just saying. Calm down.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not saying we did not count our steps. Well,
sorry, tough guy.
What way is the gym? I'm sorry.
Two guys did it in one trip. That's
three guys.
Okay.
Three
guys, all right. I was going to say that'd be unbelievable because you're talking about what?
How do you score? Do you score them like elk or?
You'd score them just like a normal deer. It's just
six
inches.
By six or?
Yeah. I mean, then did you have single paddle, double paddle in the front? Or?
I know nothing about caribou.
I'm so fascinated to hunt a caribou, but I don't know that I could go through walking five miles of tussock.
You better have good feet.
Tussock.
What if you just walk with like snowshoes? Yeah.
No, it just doesn't work. Oh. We tried walking on top. And it's like, it works. You can walk straighter, but you're balancing then, and now you're just going to
walk.
So every muscle in your body is tight when you're balancing on the top
of
tussock.
Better off just to step in the
How did your hunt go? How did you see the animal? I mean, take me through when you guys saw the animal that you were pursuing.
Yeah, so after the third day of not being
stuff. And, you get it? Oh, she got it.
Nice.
Stuff.
Hold on, she's racing.
Stuff.
And, you get it? Oh, she got it.
Nice. Way to go.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Anastasia is on it. I saw her fly across the studio.
Lord, I hope so. All
right, so we're just sitting on this big black rock, just trying to dry our clothes and our tents and our gear. All of us,
Cold? Are you wet?
Oh, we're freezing. We're three guys in a pretty much a 2.5-man tent.
Oh, that's adorable.
For 3 days. And,
that's what you're getting out of it? That's adorable. Yeah.
I could use other words, but she has to race across the studio.
I'm telling you, when you are that cold, you do not care who you are snuggled against to stay warm.
At that point. And then we finally, the fog lifted, and we found this sitting there looking at Onyx all night, or all day. And we're like, that rock right there, it's going to be nice lookout, everything. We can just sit
warm, dry,
eat some warm food. So we went there as soon as that sun broke, the fog, and we sat up there. And we sat there for 4 hours. And I'm like, 11 o'clock, we're calling it. We're heading back to the road. We're going to just bow hunt at this point. I don't want to waste the other guys' tags and stuff. Because I was really the only one that really was like,
It starts to break your spirit a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And it's like, and I also felt bad for the other guys because they want to do it with their bow. And I'm like, well, and they had all the opportunity to do it with the bow too, but it's like, you got to get back to the road because it's just a lot more opportunity.
Yeah, right, right.
And we're sitting there and we're finally dry. And Monty's like, oh, there's some. And when he goes, and remember, there's no trees, there's no shrubs, there's some willow branches, willow
nowhere
shrubs
to
down
kind
in the
of
water.
Hide or put a stalk on something.
Right, so, he's like, oh, there's some, like, where? He goes, oh, about a mile that way.
And I'm like, through the tussocks?
And I looked at him and I go, Monty, if you carry my pack to me, if I get this bull, I'll go for it. And he goes, I'll carry your pack.
Aww.
And so I grabbed the rifle.
Monty saves the day.
Oh, Monty's a tank. I grabbed a rifle and a water bottle, and I just sprinted across the tussocks as fast as I could get.
On water.
You could easily sprain an ankle doing that.
Oh, it's so... It would be so... You're right.
Well, I'm not trying to think negative.
It's not.
Because I'm scared to death for people out there.
Anyway, so I just sprinted as fast as I could, got to about 275, and just let the hammer eat, and it just dropped. And
good for you.
Can't go wrong. Now it's just butcher and get out.
This is the difference between age, Danielle. When you're 52 years old, you start considering all the things that can go wrong. When you're as young as you two, you just go for it, man.
Hey,
and that's what it's about. And I talk about all the time on this show how getting people interested in the outdoors, and I have to tell you, our Kennedy clan, right?
Ooh-wee.
One of Robin's sons went hunting with me for the first time in his life, killed 2 turkeys this past year. Her other son, Owen, just bought a bow from Buck Rub, and now he's taking up archery. So get out there. Don't think for a minute that you can't be a fantastic influence on somebody. We're out. See you next week on Raised in Wisco.
Thank God I'm a country boy.